Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Round three of Carey, Price and Burrell is go on the Tech Weekly Podcast. Hello, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Excellent.
This is a disgusting sausage party.
It's okay. It sells. I don't know. We get some listens. Thanks.
Do you think that's because we're men?
No.
You think all those people would have been put off by women are going, well, at least I'll listen to that.
Well, maybe it's us that puts off the women, because none of them want to be on this podcast. But we're here. We're here to talk about some tech. Got two stories this week. We're going to start, David Price, with Snopes. So Snopes is a fact-checking website set up to dispel urban myths and web rumours. But, David, I'm sure you'll tell us more recently, depending on who you asked, has pivoted or descended into political commentary and come a cropper in terms of ad revenue.
I don't know if it's because of the political commentary, but it is complicated. They're being sued. They are simultaneously being sued and suing somebody else because they've got themselves into hot water. They are, as you said, a fact-checking website. They're the original sort of, people call them a mom-and-pop website because they were founded by a couple, a married couple, who then later got divorced sort of 20 years after this site was established. And that's where all the problems came from, essentially. I think they got divorced about 2015.
Okay.
And as a result of that, they
it's
had
a slippery
split.
Snope from there, isn't it?
Oh my goodness.
That's our one listener gone.
Sorry, listener.
That's one of our speakers gone, I think. So at that point, they had to split the company. They had a founder a parent company called Bardav, and they split that 50-50 between the two divorced founders and the wife, Barbara Mickelson, she then sold it to somebody else, and that's where the real troubles start, because they are now trying to exert control over the advertising revenues and actually withholding, David Mickelson claims, withholding advertising revenue from him.
Okay.
And so the site is now being starved of cash, and they are suing this other group of people to try and unlock that money. But it's so complicated and messy.
Yeah, because I mean, not long ago, they had quite a few, had a bit of pickup more recently in President Trump's run for office and the whole Brexit thing, the whole media obsession with fake news. It got quite a lot of high profile profiles done of the guy. Is it David Mickelson?
David Mickelson.
Because didn't Facebook start talking about sort of using Snopes?
Yeah, they hired them.
Yeah, they hired Snopes to make sure there's less fake news on the platform.
I say hired. David Mickelson claims they don't get paid for that. But then, I mean, there's lots of interesting speculation about where the money comes from, where the money goes.
Yeah. There's been some exposés in the sort of more tabloidy press about how potentially he paid for prostitutes on expenses, and potentially he's married an escort who he once paid for her services and then paid for their honeymoon with expenses. So,
but you will
know is that fake news?
I don't. It was on.
Can we check on Snopes?
It was on.
It's being
beautiful storm.
But you will note that the people that are pushing those stories are the ones that are accused of fake. Well,
yeah, I read that on the Daily Mail. I'm not taking it as golden, but
it is. Yeah. It is. It kind of makes me. If I was to put my tin hat on, it kind of like makes me think of everything that happened at like Gawker, in terms of like. You've got these like lawsuits coming out of nowhere, and then you find out like finally that it's being bankrolled by people that don't like the fact that Snopes are fact checking them at every turn.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
So, is there any sort of claims that that's going on in the background here?
I think it's just that the sites that have been damaged by their fact-checking are jumping on it now, it's happening. But I think this is just one of those cases where if you assemble a site in a haphazard manner in 1993 or 1994,
yeah,
you don't have the structure in place for it to be a sensible
well, exactly, like, and it kind of shows that as... Well, again, we can't intrinsically link the two, but since they've perhaps moved into a more political fact-checking agenda, you're suddenly realising that, like you say, anything that disrupts any kind of powerful status quo, ad revenue won't keep you alive. Because before it was just doing like sort of urban myths and stuff, wasn't it? Like, you know, can dogs look up and things like that? But then if it's moved into...
Henry. Can they look up?
No, it's like, where is that from? It's in a thing. Like, apparently they can't look up. Isn't that in Shaun of the Dead? Was it Hot Fuzz?
Apparently it's a dangerous word.
Well, I need Snopes. Snopes. It's moved into that. Yeah. And the ad revenue
Snopes are a fascinating company in terms of pivoting. Because they have gone from this this incredibly humble origin. And they've never organised themselves. That's the thing. It's that they scaled and they've not been able to scale. Because when this company took over, or took over part of them a couple of years ago, they discovered they didn't even have a CMS, that they just built on this sort of outdated code that it was in the 1990s, and it was like a blog, basically, and they were like, well, we can do this. And they've never really scaled, and they've never established this structure, and they've still had this relationship hanging over them that it's run by a married couple. And of course, they're a couple, they have a messy relationship, and things have gone wrong, and maybe some of it's true, maybe some of it's not. But because they're a company that has this dysfunctional structure, that has now meant that they've fallen apart. And they would have been fine, as you said, 10 years ago, when they weren't a big deal, because if the advertising revenue stops coming in, we don't get our £307 this month. But they're quite a big...
One less escort for me.
We do want to stress that's not proven.
Oh, God, imagine if Snopes sued us.
God, we're going to get sued, aren't we?
Nah. So then the other aspect of this, of course, turn that off, nice and professional, is they did, well, David, on his side, he did a crowdfunding campaign to save Snopes, hashtag save Snopes. That was the actual hashtag. $500,000 in one day.
Nice.
So who are the people giving him the money? Because obviously we're saying, it matters to a lot of people when it's an important website, but that's quite a lot of crowdfunding in one day.
Maybe the Wikipedia founder, he's really on this.
Jimmy Wales.
Yeah, Wales is on this.
But it's not just like a small number of large donations. It's a lot of $10.
Yeah.
They're really popular. They people understand and trust them. And the way that the media landscape has moved, Snopes is more vital now. I'm going to sound like one of their emails now. But they are. You know, nobody else does what they do. And that's why it's ridiculous that we are depending on this, as we said, 20-year-old... kind of primitive website, but it still does the things that we should all be doing, which is checking everything.
Forgive me if this is a crude comparison, but can we compare it to WikiLeaks in a way? Because it's doing the kind of the same, trying to guide society and saying, look, you're being...
No, I don't take that. No. I don't accept that at all. WikiLeaks is...
obviously a massive different agenda.
Has an agenda, and it's a political site in a way which was never really... made clear at the beginning, but Snopes I accept their claim that they are apolitical. Barbara Mikkelsen, well, she can't vote in the US election, she's a Canadian citizen. David Mikkelsen was a registered Republican. They get accused of bias by both sides. It's like that BBC thing. What they do, and people like what's the organization called, factcheck.org, they tested them out for bias, and they found that they were applying exactly the same standards to both sides.
That's pretty great.
So you get just as many forwarded emails saying that George Bush doesn't have a brain or whatever that they would deal with in exactly the same way, and they do seem to be fair. But it's just that the Republican Party of late has become somewhat dependent on absolute arrant bullshit, which means that they suffer slightly more from there being somebody that calls them on that.
Is there a UK equivalent to something like Snopes? Is there anything apart from
I think we just use Snopes.
Because to be honest, I'm not really aware of Snopes.
You're not really aware of Snopes?
No.
It's such an amazing website.
Does that mean I don't...
Have you seen...
love facts.
Have you seen Once Upon a Time in the West?
I have.
It's my favourite film. So you know the subplot about the Irishman who... buys a plot of land where the railroad is going
right,
to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like in the middle of nowhere, and he just sits there for like 15 years and waits for his land to become valuable when the train arrives. Mm. Well, that's what Snopes have done, is that they established this thing that nobody cared about, except a few people. And then 20 years later, the train has arrived, the media landscape desperately needs them. Everything has fallen apart in terms of trust in media. And they're there, and they go, right, this is what we've been doing for 20 years. We now have the facilities to do this.
Are you saying that Snopes knew Trump was coming?
Okay, they become, if you imagine that they didn't know it and they were lucky in that film instead of actually planning it, which is a fundamental difference.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think it would be such a shame if they go down in such an ugly way as well.
Do you reckon they're going to go down? Like, it sounds to me like they're going to get swallowed up by powerful people yet again.
Yeah, they might do. So, as you said, they got $500,000 in the first 24 hours. That's since gone up to $600,000. So it did slow down a bit. And they estimate that their running costs are about $100,000 a day. No, not a day,
whoa,
a month.
I was going to say.
A month. So that will keep them going for a while. But it's not going to keep them going in perpetuity. And as we saw with Wikipedia, people do kind of, even for a website that they depend upon and love and trust, they do resent the idea of paying for something at all, really, but certainly over a period of time.
I can't credit it to anyone, but I saw a good Twitter joke the other day, and it was saying that, it was basically, I'll paraphrase it, but it was saying at work, if someone goes, I'll give you $3 to eat this old grape, you'd be like, yeah. But then like Jimmy Wells asks you for $3 and you're like, get fucked. So why won't people pay for like good information, but they will pay for, you know, £6 pints?
It's the way you pay, I think. Remember, there was all that stuff for a while ago about micropayments, but that was the future of it. It needs to be frictionless.
Yeah, it's frictionless.
It's the point of logging in and entering your bank details. That's the problem. Is that you've got £3 in change on your desk. If somebody comes around with a birthday card for somebody that you don't even know, you go, yeah, there's the £3.
Yeah.
It's nothing because it's metal coins, but having to log in, that's the friction, that's the annoyance, I think. And we never solved it.
Damn. Well, log in if you want. Give Snopes $3.
Yeah. It matters.
Yeah.
They have asked for 10.
Have they? Okay, cool.
I suppose that's a bit like the British Museum and their suggested donation of £5. I don't think I will.
Yeah,
probably not.
When I go to these museums, I'm like, who are these people who put £20 notes in there? Are these Chinese tourists who like go, oh, I have 1 million yen, but £20? that can't be much.
Is that slightly racist?
Not really. I mean, I'd probably under...
It's a currency racism.
Just like how we would undertip in China or Japan, right? How many yen? I have no idea. How many yen to a pound?
I tend to just put some money in my hand and go, please just take the appropriate amount.
Brilliant.
You allow people to rob you.
Yeah. Well, that's what tipping is, isn't it?
Oh, true.
Hashtag political.
Wow. That's a great place to end there. Thanks. Obviously, the obligatory question. David Price, Land of Snope and Glory or Not a Snope in Hell?
Land of Snope and Glory. Let's be positive.
And it's got Kerry.
It's just a better pun, isn't it? So, yeah, Land of Snope and Glory.
Yes. Okay, cool.
It's the same pun. Hold on.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Snope and Hell.
It's the same pun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite a funny word. You had to pun it.
It's very funny.
Thank you. Okay, we'll come right back and talk about heavyweight AI fighting. It's Ali versus Fraser. It's Biggie versus Tupac. It's a bit like Jobs versus Gates, but really, it's Goliath versus Goliath. Mark Zuckerberg did a backyard Q&A where he talked about AI for a bit and cooked a brisket, and then got straight up Twitter dissed by the ever plucky fellow billionaire, Elon Musk. Scott Carey, what has got the tech press all a-fussed?
Yeah, I mean, slow news week in the tech press. So there's
oh, really? Can you tell one listener?
So there's nothing like two of the biggest names in tech having a little bicker online.
Pretty juicy.
So yeah, while most sort of founders and CEOs are chilling in the Hamptons, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are having a little spat over AI, and it is quite playgroundy. So mm-hmm. I'll sort of lay out how it went down. Elon Musk was at a meeting of the American governors. I don't even know what that meeting would be like, but anyway, he was asked about AI, and historically he's always been very pessimistic, negative, almost sort of alarmist over the threat of AI, in the sort of vein of Nick Bostrom. So he actually said that I keep ringing the alarm bell over AI, but until people see robots going down the street killing people, they don't know how to react. alarmist wow. is probably the word. So he, again, is sort of ringing the bell for regulating AI. He wants to sort of regulate the research of AI, the application of it, before it gets sort of out of hand in his eyes. The problem here is that Musk sort of has skin in the game, in that his big thing is about sort of colonizing other planets and moving us off Earth. So if there's a sort of strain of killer robots like that take over Earth, then great for him, because we can all move to Mars.
Yeah.
Anyway, most of the sort of AI research community responded with a massive sigh. Towards Musk,
right?
Because it is just wildly alarmist at this point, and AI is in no way anywhere near that sort of level. Neither, more importantly, is robotics, to the point where most of the videos of robots you see can be pushed over with a stick.
To play devil's advocate just for a second,
please do.
Is it not the case that you need to get the regulations in place before the robots are equipped with scythes and the ability to...
It reminds me of that episode of The Simpsons, Itchy and Scratchy Land.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got unbearable gas pain land, isn't it?
It's a brilliant episode. I highly recommend. Sorry.
So, yeah, it's a fair point. And also the AI research community obviously don't want to be regulated, so they're always going to tone down any sort of
Skynet vibe
negativity towards their work. Basically, they want to be unfettered, and they want to get on with their research, because that's what they do for a living. So I think that's fair. As you said, sort of Zuckerberg was grilling brisket. In
what looked like, Stevenson's rockets.
It was a proper smoker. Yeah, I was actually fairly impressed.
It was like, yeah, he looked like the Thumb Man because of the angle of the camera.
Yeah.
And then he just had like a steam engine cooking
the Thumb Man.
Yeah, bizarre.
You know Thumb
image.
Man, right? Yeah, the famous picture of the man that looks like a thumb.
Keaton Jennings looks like a thumb.
I don't know.
Reference.
Oh, okay. My bad.
So he was doing a live Q&A while he was waiting for his brisket to cook, as you do, on Facebook Live.
I mean, I can't even count the number of times that I've had to do that. But.
And someone asked him, like, what do you think about Elon Musk's recent comments about AI? And he said, I think the people who are naysayers and try to drum up these doomsday scenarios, I don't understand it. It's negative and it's irresponsible. Which I think is fair. And obviously Zuckerberg is always the optimist when it comes to things like this. Facebook has a huge AI research lab, and they're always talking about trying to apply AI to healthcare, to sort of democratizing the internet, to trying to make things better for people. He never talks about sort of algorithms being bad.
Is that the difference here? When we think about AI, people do think about, unfortunately, Elon Musk saying robots are going to, take over everyone and it's going to be like a Terminator. Yep. But when Zuckerberg talks about AI, is he just talking about, machine learning?
Yeah, that's the problem with AI in general, is it's so broad. I think maybe like the ideal is just to find somewhere in the middle here where, yeah, there needs to be regulation, but also like I do like Zuckerberg's optimism. Like the fact that he's trying to apply this to areas where it can help is obviously the best way to go about it. After news of Zuckerberg's sort of subtweet got out there, Musk responded by saying, "I've talked to Mark about this. His understanding of the subject is limited."
Ooh.
Which is the sickest burn.
It's a pretty sick burn.
And that's where we stand now. So we did Musk win that argument?
Well, they just stopped, didn't it?
Yeah,
just ended.
We haven't heard Zuckerberg's comeback.
No. Well, it's too sick a burn for him to come back, I think.
Yeah, I think his sick burn is limited.
It's hilarious that it is basically the argument that you would have two nerds having like at school, where it'd be like, "I think your understanding is limited. I think your understanding is limited."
Let's have a book off. So, I mean, yeah, what is Musk doing in AI that he has the authority to comment on something like this? Because aside from, you know, he's got so many fingers, so many pies.
Yeah.
You've got Tesla, you've got SpaceX, Hyperloop, but they're all more automotive. So is he looking to automate these things?
So it's Tesla. So there's no AI in Hyperloop. And Hyperloop was his idea, but he actually doesn't do anything with Hyperloop.
He's the champion of it.
And then there's no AI involved in SpaceX, really, although there might be something going on in the background.
They tend to keep crashing. So.
Yeah. But Tesla. So Tesla is automated vehicles, and automated vehicle software is completely reliant on artificial intelligence. You need the cameras on the car to be able to act like a human. So it needs to be able to see. It needs to be able to process information. It needs to be able to react. So he considers himself a bit of an expert.
So, but from a PR point of view, when people think, well, this guy's an expert in AI, and he says all these Teslas are going to, you know, get on their hind wheels and come and slaughter us, like, what's he talking about when he's talking about robots? It's not very, there's a big jump to what he's saying.
I think he just does that because he wants to get a rise, and because it's the easiest way to sort of scaremonger is to basically evoke the Terminator. I mean, it is the...
Why is it in his interest to scaremonger?
Well, in theory, it's because he wants us all to move to Mars.
Just he's a wanker.
Yeah, like, he's probably got legitimate concerns, and he should have. Like, and he obviously has read, like, Bostrom, and Bostrom's got some pretty scary concerns over AI.
Yeah.
He might not have a huge amount of agenda, really. He might just like, and he does. He's always liked to be a little bit sort of
provocative.
Yeah,
well, he's friends with Peter Thiel, isn't he?
Yeah,
he likes getting publicity, and he has a different sort of approach to Zuckerberg because he does that sort of. He was a guy that was the CEO of Ryanair, and every now and then, if he wanted to get publicity, he'd say, "We're going to take out the toilets or whatever."
Yeah,
he knows how to do that soundbite. Zuckerberg, and I sort of relate this to this presidential run thing, is that he's always more measured. He's always trying to be more sort of statesmanlike. He won't come out and say, "I think Facebook should have face recognition to stop people voting," or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
but he is extremely statesmanlike.
He doesn't go for the soundbite.
No, and that's why it was quite surprising that he even responded to the question, because normally he won't be one to sort of be provocative or be confrontational. He tends to be more statesmanlike.
But, you know, I think it was nice to see Zuckerberg, you know, be a bit exasperated, because you can tell it's something he's clearly passionate about. Because, like you say, he unfortunately does come across slightly robotic sometimes. So it was nice kind of him to see, despite him, you know, cooking in his Palo Alto backyard with a clear display of wealth, he's still being like, I'm trying to help people. So I don't understand why people would try and shoot it down.
But having regulations is not shooting it down, is it? I mean,
No.
You've got a lot of interests.
How do you regulate something like that? Why were you saying, Scott, that it wasn't in the interests of all these different bodies to have regulations yet?
Oh, because a researcher wants to be able to be free to like do their research. They definitely don't want someone coming in and putting up a load of red tape, being like, "Can you make sure that you don't do this, don't do that?"
Yeah, and it costs money to comply with regulations, isn't it? Every time regulations are brought in, companies count how much it's going to cost them.
Well, shut me down.
Sorry, Henry.
No, that's cool. Who else in the AI wars then? We've got Zuckerberg and Musk, but obviously we're talking about lots of different people having different approaches to it. I mean, is there anyone else who's going to pull ahead of the group?
Well, I mean, the guys that spend all the money on this are Google and Facebook.
Yeah, of course.
Google bought DeepMind, an English company that does a lot of AI research. They've had a lot of troubles of their own recently with the NHS.
Mm-hmm.
They developed an app for, I think it was liver disease. It was a very specific disease for basically using AI to pass through like medical records and stuff to try and spot things earlier and quicker than doctors. But then the data agreement they set up with the NHS was badly written.
Probably doesn't run on XP either.
Yeah. Good point.
It's a tech joke.
So Google also have their Google Brain AI team, which is responsible for a lot of their like internal computer vision stuff, like in Google Photos and stuff like that.
Some of the stuff they do in that is pretty cool, actually.
It's very cool. And Google Translate is all a big step change in Google Translate and how good it became about a year ago. And that all came down to the research that was going on at Google Brain. And then the people that we always forget about are sort of Baidu and the Chinese tech superpowers, and Yandex as well in Russia has a big AI lab that I wrote about the other week. So basically anyone that is in like Google space and has that amount of data, they would be stupid not to try and sort of develop some AI, because it will give them a competitive advantage.
Would Amazon be involved in that as well?
Oh, Amazon are huge. They're the sort of elephant in the room, really. Alexa is AI driven. It's it learns what you like and adapts accordingly. So a lot of those AI sort of assistants run on that sort of thing. And then of course there's Microsoft as well, which has just announced that it's sort of bulking out its research lab because it feels like it's sort of slipping behind its rivals. So I mean, it's a huge battleground. Like every big tech company is in on the AI thing. Just interesting, right? Not a lot of them actually talk about the sort of risks. So these sort of spats don't break out very often, which is why I think the press quite,
apart from things like this, it's normally in automotive that you hear bad things, right? Uber trying to test. Everyone's kind of forgotten that Uber are trying to build autonomous vehicles since Travis Kalanick.
They're currently filing a lawsuit against Google because apparently they stole a lot of
I was going to say they probably couldn't have done it without some knowledge of a bigger company with more data, right?
It's classic Uber, really. generally they like these research labs and stuff like to get on with their business and stay quiet and not talk too much to the press or into the public because basically when they do, stuff like this happens. That, you know, people start talking about like the end of the world, and it's not good for them and their funding, and they don't want red tape. So yeah, they tend to sort of try and do these things quietly. But then the risk of that is that we don't know what they're doing. They're building black box algorithms, and it's all a little bit scary.
Damn. Well, slight pivot before we wrap up. So if you have automotive and things like that and autonomous vehicles coming, does that play into the French and British government's decision to stop all production of petrol and diesel cars by 2040?
Yes.
Yeah, does electric car equal autonomous car?
They are different, but they're inextricably linked, because if you're going to spend the time and energy to build an electric car, you might as well try and make it autonomous, in my opinion, which is what is happening at Tesla. Like Tesla started out electric car and then it went into the autonomous space.
Yeah.
And I think most of the people that are doing electric cars are looking at autonomous. So the Ford had a change of leadership this year, where they sacked sort of a long time sort of classic CEO, and they brought in the guy that was head of their autonomous driving division, which was sort of a clear signal that they're going to try and focus on that area. And then Volvo month, I think, came out and said that they're not going to build anything that isn't electric
that's
the next sort of few years. So it's happening in quite a major way. And I think it's more interesting that the traditional car makers are starting to make these moves.
Will that mean that every company will just say, we no longer sell in these countries? Or does it mean that these other companies are going to have to adapt and start building electric cars pretty quick? Because 2040 is not very far away.
It's pretty far away.
I don't know. Like 23 years.
The speed of technology change now would suggest that we should be at the point in 2040 where electric and autonomous technology is like up to the standards where we can just use it. The problem is and always will be batteries. Like batteries are a bloody nightmare. Like they just, like we can't seem to.
It's quite a Partridge thing to say. Batteries are a bloody nightmare.
We can't we can't seem to like create a step change in battery technology where they have more capacity.
Yeah.
So the charging issue remains the biggest issue with electric cars.
A company that does that for any sort of technology is going to be a very, very rich company.
Yeah, that will be the company that we have not heard of now that will be the biggest in 2040 if it ever happens.
Yeah. Speaking of things that run on electricity, how about the fact that little Roombas, you know, there's little vacuums.
Oh, the little vacuums.
They've been collecting all the data of where they go in your house, and they've all mapped out your house, and then Roomba is allowed to legally sell that data.
That is mental. Oh my God. That is absolutely mental. I didn't
about
know
this.
That. No.
Yeah, so apparently somebody has brought up that they have the ability to, as they bump around your house, you know, bumping into your feet and your cat and whatever, they actually can send back data to Roomba, and Roomba is legally allowed to sell that data to other companies.
And there was a big thing this week about Alexa being able to listen to your conversations, wasn't
it? Oh, I mean, I've always thought that, yeah. that was possible.
Yeah, you already
anyway.
Had that with the Xbox Kinect, wasn't it? That it was always on when I was listening to.
There's some very dodgy T's and C's and small print
you
about
just need
Alexa.
To read the small print.
Nobody yeah. can. They're like 23 pages long. Nobody reads
it. Nobody reads 23 pages.
Have you ever
pages?
Read a whole T and C?
No, but what, like it's our job, well, it's my job to read them and make them
can you read them
like,
for us?
and then just sort of summarise what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, get onto Roomba. This just reminds me of when, do you remember when Bruce Willis got angry because he realised he didn't technically own his iTunes collection? Because when you die, you can't, because of all the T's and C's you click on when you agree to iTunes, when you download music from iTunes, it's only your property until you die, and you can't pass it on in a will. Because basically Bruce Willis got so on the iPod bandwagon that he had so much downloaded music he wanted to actually leave it as an asset, and he was legally not allowed to do that.
I wonder how much his iTunes library is worth.
I don't know. Is he just all
it's
his
Bruce
own
Willis,
albums?
So.
he used to be a recording artist,
album,
didn't he?
Yeah. So, yeah. He likes the sort of old soul and jazz standards.
How do you know this?
I think. I don't know.
I do like Bruce Willis quite a lot.
You ever seen Hudson Hawk?
I have not seen that film.
Not a great film.
No. Lost Boy Scout's good. Is that him? That's a good film.
Amazing.
Yeah. What's your favourite Bruce Willis film? You're not allowed to say Die Hard.
Oh, it's Die Hard.
No, but mine is. My favourite is not Hudson Hawk. You can't leave that as my answer. Hudson Hawk is a weak film.
I don't think many people will have heard of it. Don't worry. Thank you. That was a good roundup. We didn't go too far off the rails. Scott Carey, AI mother Zuckers, or Musk try harder.
I really like AI mother Zuckers. That's good. I like that.
Okay. Cool, David.
Musk try harder.
Ooh, we're split. Okay, well,
I want to see him try that shit with Jeff Bezos.
Yeah,
he would knock him flat.
Yeah,
that
pic,
that's
swole,
pretty
Bezos
great picture.
Got.
Yeah. Oh, oh man. Okay. Yeah. Let us know, listener, who's your favourite heavyweight in the tech world. Who would you play if they did a Street Fighter version of them? Thanks for joining me, Dave and Scott. Please join me next week. I'm sure you will have to.
There are no women.
It shows that we can make 30 minutes out of a slow tech week. So thank you very much.
Brilliant.
And it has been Tech Week. Lee, thank you. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.